Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com, TourStaffordVA.com. The Jeff Rouse Swim and Sports Center in Stafford is our focus this morning. Brian Cann, the general manager, back with us this morning, along with Kim LaFontaine, the membership director. Good morning. It just seems like we were sitting around talking real recently.
Yeah.
We were talking. These are difficult days for everybody and for businesses. Brian, like you keep watching. No one ever knows what's gonna happen, and you just try to do the best you can and keep everything as safe as you can these days.
Correct. And so we've been staying up with what the health department is saying, what Governor Northam is putting out, and so everyone's aware he put out the new restrictions last week. Luckily, it's not as effective towards businesses, so we're still able to operate in that phase three with 75% capacity, which is great. However, we are watching it because if he's going to put further restrictions on, we need to make sure we're ready for that. And so that's really where we're as a center, keeping it safe with everybody coming in the building, but also preparing for if the next set of restrictions come through, how do we still manage the facility, allow people to come in and keep everything safe?
Yeah.
Boy, and keeping everything safe, Kim. That's you all have done a great job of it.
But
it's a big
undertaking.
It is.
Yeah. We've got lots of extra cleaning. You know, one thing that we were talking about this week, especially with new restrictions coming, is that we just need to be sure that everybody is wearing their mask. You know, reminding people, because you know you get kind of complacent and you get like, oh, I just forgot it in the car, no big deal. So we've been trying to be really diligent about reminding everybody who comes through the doors, hey, just put your mask on, whether you like it or not. Just, you know, be mindful, be courteous to your fellow gym members, and just put your mask on.
Yeah.
It'll help us all.
No, and it does get frustrating sometimes when you see people and they'll have it on and it's down low,
yeah,
or they're not
hanging
wearing
on an ear.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. So that is the big thing. Although most people, when you think about where we are now compared to even in the summer, more people, you do see, you're out in the community, you see
it's
people
much
wearing
better.
More.
Yeah, it's much better even as they come in, you know, because most people have kind of gotten in the routine to wear it. So they just don't even think about it. I see a lot of them coming through the front doors and they'll stop for a second and then put it on and then come in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always like, way to go. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, and Brian, that's tough on this staff. This is a tough one of having to enforce this kind of thing. I mean, nobody likes to have to say, put your mask on, or you need to separate a little bit, but you have to.
Right. And when we first reopened back in June, it was a new thing for our staff and going through all the training to make sure they're enforcing these new rules that we were having to follow, because generally you have the facility rules and that's what we were doing. Now we have these whole set
new
of COVID restrictions and new things that we needed to make sure the staff was trained on. And so, you know, 90-95% of the members come in and do exactly what they're supposed to be doing. You know, we still have those few that want to come in and not wear their mask and have their opinions, and that's perfectly fine, but it's still our responsibility as a facility to have that conversation. And ultimately, with the part-time staff, we don't want them to get berated by anybody. And so we always tell them, like, there's always a manager in the building.
Yeah.
Grab a manager. Like, we're more than happy to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And really, it's for the benefit of everybody. And that's why we keep enforcing those rules, because ultimately, we as a business want to stay open. In order for us to stay open, we've got to follow those rules. And so we just have to keep enforcing. Like Kim said, people are getting tired of it a little bit. People are going to start getting complacent. But it's a continuous process, and we have to keep moving forward in that direction.
I'm sure in the early days of this, as you brought people back, just training everyone to do the. I was one of the people at the Washington football game a couple of weeks ago when they played the Giants and had some fans, and it was amazing to me to watch every quarter somebody came down and was wiping the handrails.
Yep.
Every quarter, I thought of you guys about just how. All of that stuff, and you'd done a lot of that in the past with workout machines and things like that, but people are more heightened aware of it now.
Correct. Sure. So, I mean, specifically with the fitness center, we have an attendant in there. We have the members should be wiping equipment down before and after, the attendants doing that. But even in the facility, whether it's in the locker rooms or in the pool area, wiping down after swim practice or
The front doors. We have people wiping down the front door yeah. handles,
Even the staff wiping down, like at the front desk, they wipe down their space after their shift so that when the next person comes in, it's disinfected it's and clean for them. And so it's just adding that extra layer and just making sure we're doing everything on our part to keep our employees and our members safe.
That's what we do here. I wipe all this down in the morning before, and then after you leave, I'll
do
it again.
We appreciate that. Yes. Thank you, Ted.
And it's just, it is. It's things that you know, a lot of us have never done, but we're doing it. We're doing them right now.
Well, and it's becoming habit too. You know, for our employees, when they have a spare minute, they grab a spray bottle and a cloth and go clean something, which is cool. Yeah.
Well, these are interesting times, and I guess in a way, because of the governor's what he came with the other night, he did say that masks had to be worn. So now that does make it a little bit easier for because you can't fall back on, well, I've got a medical condition.
Right, and then he lowered the age because it was 10 and up, and now it's 5 and up.
Yeah.
So, you know, adjusting that policy for our J Club for the parents that want to drop their kids off. But yeah, so we're doing our best to enforce that rule because it is a must. You must wear the mask.
All of this to say for the person who's thinking, you know, I still want to work out and I want to join. You know, I'd like to join. I'd like to come. Yeah. Is it safe? The answer is resounding yes.
Yes. I mean, we're taking every possible precaution. And I will tell you, you know, you mentioned people being interested in joining. We have had a ton of new members in the past, I would say in the past month.
Okay.
We've had an influx of new members, people who maybe haven't been to see us before and are popping in and, you know, want to work out, or maybe they were previously members of another gym and they're looking for someplace a little bit safer, cleaner, better environment. So we've done lots of tours, and it's always fun to take people around and go, okay, well, this equipment is not normally marked off, but in our current climate, you can't work out on the treadmill right beside someone else. We've got spaces marked for you. But we've had a lot of new people, and that's nice. It's good to see that.
And I would guess with the holidays and then after the holidays, making New Year's resolutions, that will go up.
I mean, we hope so. January is always our busiest year. You know, that's when we see all the new members coming in because the resolution, this is the year.
This
we're going to do it.
We're going to work
so
out.
We're hoping that we still see those this year.
So, and again, it's, I mean, you have done everything and above what you can do to keep everything clean.
Well, thank you.
I think, you know, in the facility and also out of the facility, we're going to start being able to do digital classes online where our members can register online to do classes, and they don't even have to come in the building if they don't want to. We're going to be able to do live personal training through Zoom or another broadcast company, something like that. So just trying to come up with these options to keep everybody active in whatever capacity we can do.
Yeah.
If a year ago we were having this conversation, if I had said to you, have you guys ever thought about using Zoom? You would have looked at me and said, that works for
bother?
The office, but why would we do that?
No, we had thought about it because obviously everything's digital, even before COVID. And so trying to get to that point, but you know, one of the big things for a gym is you want people to come to the building because it's the environment, it's the atmosphere. That's what helps keep people accountable. And now it's adding that extra piece of now we'll keep you accountable, but you're at your house because maybe you don't feel comfortable coming in yet.
But you still have to work out.
We would have never thought we'd be at this point this time last year, but it is what it is, and we'll make it the best of the situation.
I do know when you were able to reopen, just people that were just so thrilled to be able to come back.
It's just part of everybody's routine. I mean, the amount of members that we have come in right at 5 a.m., I mean, that's one of our busiest hours of the day. There's that select group that they want to get up at 4:30 in the morning, come work out at 5, and get off to work. And they're very happy.
They've been very diligent. I don't see them often because I'm not that person, but they come in pretty regularly.
I said to you the last time we did a show a couple months ago on this that the other thing was finally all that construction that you had to deal with at 6:30. Was all finished, and it literally just opened up, and then COVID came.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because then we'll have the members come in because in the intersection now, so the Publix opens on December 9th. There's going to be a new stoplight in front of the center. And so we'll have members come in. They're like, what happened in the last 6 months? Because all of it's just kind of popped out of nowhere. And it's like, things changed. They had plenty of time and it's coming. So the whole area is developing, which is great.
Brian Cann here, Kim LaFontaine from the Jeff Rouse Swim and Sports Center in Stafford. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Jeff Rouse, Swim and Sports Center in Stafford, our focus this morning on the program. Brian Cann here and Kim LaFontaine. RouseCenter.com, the website, if you want to check things out. Also, you can go to Facebook and get information, too. The Frosty 3-Miler and Reindeer Run comes up in December
12th. 12th, correct, yep.
And this is the third or fourth year you've done this.
This is going to be the fourth annual version of this race.
So I think we've done shows on this just about every year, and hopefully it goes through. I mean, this is what whenever we talk about events these days, any kind of event, you always have to put that little asterisk there of as far as as long as the state allows it at this point.
Right, and so December 12th. So we have a few more weeks before then. As of right now, the restrictions that are in place for running races is going to be a max of 250 people, and they're going to be sending them off in waves of 25 to keep everybody spaced and separated. Everything's going to be held outside in front of the center, so even through packet pickup, we'll be able to keep everybody distanced. So hoping the weather's mild. It's a little cold this morning, but hoping the weather's a little bit more mild on that particular day. But we're just keeping an eye on it because, again, further restrictions could come before the 12th. We're hoping not, but that's why the beauty of the situation is we can do it virtually as well. And we had been talking earlier today about the turkey trot that the YMCA usually holds is going to be virtual, and so that's always an option. If you still just want to do it virtual, you don't have to come out to the center and do the Frosty 3-Miler this year. You can do it virtually, so just providing options as best we can and staying up to date on the information.
And you talk about staying in shape and staying involved. I've seen a couple of races done virtually. I've seen a couple of them where they're modifying and have the waves, and either way it works.
Right.
And
you can still
You sign up and you still get a shirt and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And the shirt's the most important part, right?
Exactly.
There's no question.
Exactly. I want my shirt.
There is no question. So to sign up, you sign up by going to RouseCenter.com?
Yep. So you can go to the website under races. It's going to say Frosty 3-Miler, and that's going to take you to the event page, and you'll be able to register that way either in person or for a virtual race. And that's going to be run through Arsenal Events. And they'll be able to provide all that information for you. But yes, if you go to our website, RouseCenter.com, that'll take you right to where you need to be to register.
And that is that's kind of become the new kind of the home for races in this area. The sign up for a lot of races anyway.
Right. And I know each year they do the Stafford Race Series, so there's a lot of different races that are a part of it. And so this is, I believe, the last race of series. So everything's been running through that, and we're able to get, at least with those two particular races, with the Halloween 5K and then with the Frosty 3-Miler, get everyone through that way. And the best part about the Frosty 3-Miler is you don't have to go up Embry Mill Hill, which everyone's always so happy about. So the race course is different. It's an out and back on Mine Road. So if you have not wanted to do the races because you don't want to go up the Halloween Haunt Hill, sign up for this one. It's much flatter. It's going to be a little bit easier, and it'll be a lot of fun.
It's more runner friendly.
That hill. I have heard more about that hill. I have not run
it. It's brutal. I don't recommend it unless you're really prepared.
Even the lead biker has issues with that hill.
Oh, yeah. She was struggling at the Halloween 5K. She said, I almost had to walk it, but she didn't. So.
It is a good test. I mean, sometimes those are good tests, but you don't always, if especially if you haven't prepared enough,
right.
You don't want those tests. So I guess, so Halloween, the Halloween run went off,
I guess. It went well. Yeah, it went really well. We were able to keep people pretty distanced. We didn't have anyone in our facility. Everything was outside. So that was nice. It was, it was good to see that we can do that safely.
Yeah, weather was nice. It didn't rain. I think it rained the previous three races on Halloween.
Finally,
so
no rain.
We finally got some good weather. Everybody enjoyed it, and everyone was able to get their times in. And the nice part about a race is you pretty much separated by design. It's not a team event. It's not like you're constantly around people.
Right.
So it's a pretty safe event to do in these times.
You do your thing, you go home.
Yeah.
Well, and you talk about these times. Here's another and whether the Frosty 3 Mile or the Reindeer Run is there or it's virtual, it still is a chance to make some memories and to do something outside.
Oh, definitely.
You know, as a family or just with some friends.
Yeah, we had lots of families who came out for the Halloween 5K. You know, like we had one family that crossed the finish line with 3 strollers. Like a double stroller and then another stroller. Mom was pushing one, dad was pushing the other one. And it was so cute. We had some families that were dressed up similarly because Halloween, we always encourage them to wear their costumes. So, I mean, it really is kind of a fun family event.
Well, and to have these kind of, this race and some of the other Stafford Series races, Rouse Center is has kind of been a magnet to do that. And that's kind of been missing for North Stafford and down to, you know, in the area where you are by Embry Mill, and this really does open some things up, at least for physical activity.
Correct, and that's the beauty of the facilities, because we don't just have one mission or one purpose. We have the membership part of it, where we want people to come into the center. We want them to be active and do whether group exercise class, swim laps, work out in the fitness center, and there's that portion of it. There's the swim team portion of it and providing an opportunity for those kids to compete and potentially get another swimmer to get to the trials in Nebraska. And that would be great. And then that also, the third part of it is being that community center, whether it's through a race, whether it's through working with Stafford County Public Schools. And we were collecting supplies over the summer to try and help the kids out that were working from home to have school supplies, or just even coat drives, Toys for Tots, whatever it is, trying to be that community aspect as well. And so trying to meet all three of those goals and just be a part of the community is what we're trying to be.
Is when, Kim, especially if you're taking prospective members around or someone comes to look, I would think that the one thing, at least it was for me, when and this was just before the center opened, I remember going on a tour, and it was the pools.
Oh,
that you looked at him and you first thought, am I in Stafford County?
When I do tours, I always get our building is kind of one big circle. So I always go the opposite way so that the pool is the last area they see.
That's a smart idea.
Yeah. And when we walk through, you know, off that back hallway into the pool area, I can't tell you how many times people just kind of stop and catch their breath and go, wow. You know, they're just amazed. And I even say I walk past this every day, and it's so beautiful and pristine. Our pools, Brian does such a great job making sure they're so well maintained. They really are beautiful. If you haven't seen them, come on out. I'll give you a tour. I'd love to walk you around.
It'll be the last thing you see.
It'll be the last thing you... Now, that sounds ominous. I don't mean it like that. I won't push you in or anything.
It's true. I forgot, Brian. I mean, you're the pool guy.
Yes.
And To be managing something like these pools has to be really a thrill for you.
Yeah. So just for anybody who doesn't know, so before I became general manager, I was aquatics director of the facility, and so I still have a big part of overseeing the pools right now. Still, it's definitely a challenge. It's a lot of water. just the competition pool alone is 750,000 gallons of water. it's a lot to take care of, but we have a great staff that maintain them, because ultimately if we want to be able to do what we want to do, it's got to be clean, it's got to be safe, it's got to be to the standard that we want it to be, to provide that aspect for them. So
it must have been a challenge when you were closed for so many months with COVID, just because pools, certainly you have to maintain levels in a pool,
right? And so that was one of the things we had to decide right at the beginning, is trying to figure out how long we were going to be closed, because you can't just leave a pool sitting. So either you drain it and let it sit, or you have to keep maintaining it, which obviously costs money. And so because we didn't have an idea of when we were going to reopen, we made the decision to keep them full. And so that was part of the day-to-day operations, is even though we were closed, I was going to the center and checking levels and adding as needed and making sure the filters were clean and doing everything pretty much as normal, just because we wanted to make sure as soon as we were able to open, we were ready to go. We didn't want that delay of having to fill and balance and prepare.
To fill that big pool up, how long would that take?
So luckily, we've been able to work with like utilities, and they usually let us borrow some fire hoses. And so we just hook up off the hydrant to fill that pool.
Okay.
Even with the hydrant, it takes about 3-4 days to fill it. It takes a while. So, you know, if we were just using the regular spigot, I think we'd be there for a while.
Maybe Christmas.
But yeah, no, the fire hose definitely helps, but it's still about 3 to 4 days because then you got to think about heating it and conditioning the water and getting it where you want to be. So, I mean, draining and filling is usually a week to 2 week process.
It's a task.
Wow.
Yeah. But
interesting.
It's, you know, the other two pools aren't as bad. They make it seem very easy. That thing's
But that competition pool's a beast.
It's a little bit of a monster,
Have you had, I'm trying to remember because I think so, but over the years, has the VHSL held some of their some of their finals at your pool?
So we have worked with VISA, which is the private school side of it. And so they've done two state championship meets at our facility. We are actually in line, depending on what happens with the VHSL season, to do the 5 and 6A diving championships this year in February.
Okay.
And then we're also on the schedule to then host the 5 and 6A swim championships for 2022. between working with VISA, VHSL, and then Virginia Swimming as the year-round sort of swim committee that we work with. So a lot of the meets come through the year-round teams. But, just trying to get on the schedule with VISA and VHSL. And they book them 3-4 years in advance, so it takes a while to get on the schedule. But now I think we're in a pretty good rotation with them. So it should be a continuous process from here on out with working with them. A
couple of years ago, when my son was still in high school, and he was on the swim team, and we went up to finals. We're at George Mason.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And I remember being at Mason and looking at that pool and saying, I don't know why the Rouse. This could be in Stanford.
Right.
This could be at the Rouse Center.
Right. Yes,
that's how great it is.
Everybody loves it now that they don't have to travel to Richmond for every meet or travel to Northern Virginia every meet, and they're like, I can save so much money just on hotels because we're right here.
Yeah.
And it's nice because we're actually Stafford for the most part centrally located between D.C. and Richmond. Mm-hmm. So the beauty of it is we have great teams in the area. We have great teams in Northern Virginia and in Richmond. And so we can be that central hub where it's not one team inviting another team 2 hours out of the way. They both kind of meet in the middle at us, and we can do that that we need to do. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's perfect because I missed a couple of swim meets. I remember going to one at UVA, and I think there was one in Blacksburg or somewhere in the Western. Maybe it was Salem. I can't remember. But it was farther. It was farther enough away that you couldn't go. So to get that when that does happen, that will be great.
So
Rouse Center is our focus this morning. RouseCenter.com is the website. Brian Cannon and Kim LaFontaine here this morning. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. We'll come back and talk more about some of the activities that you and your family can get involved with at the Rouse Center in Stafford when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Kim LaFontaine and Brian Cann here this morning from the Jeff Rouse Swim and Sports Center in Stafford. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. So, Kim, I have walked into the Rouse Center. And we do things virtually now in this world.
We
can do some things on this show that maybe a year ago would have seemed weird.
That's true.
Now it doesn't. So we're going to walk around the Rouse Center for a little
bit. You want a tour?
Well, I want a tour.
All right.
If I say to you, I want to go see the pools, you're going to say to me, we'll get there.
That's right. Well, you know, we always ask people when they come in, what are you here for? What do you want to do? Do you like group fitness? Are you a swimmer? I always love it when they say they're swimmers because I'm like, oh, just wait. You're going to be impressed. But we talked before, I always walk them the opposite way so they see the pool last. So I usually, if they have kids, we'll go through the J Club area, which is our child care area. We'll show them, you know, the facilities where they can leave their kids. We'll show them the group exercise room. And then we usually walk down the main hallway, which will be where our fitness floor is and our basketball gym. So we really have something for everybody in the facility. If you're not big on cardio, but you like to shoot hoops, we've got a lot of time where that gym is open for you to come in and shoot hoops. Then we walk along the back hallway, and then that leads to the pool. And that's when I like to do the big reveal, you know, show our amazing pool.
It's the wow moment.
It really is. And it's funny because I've done so many tours, but every time I open the doors, I kind of get the same wow moment. Because they're beautiful. They really are.
So the pools aside, is there a part in the facility that's your favorite spot?
I like the group X room. That's, you know, because I like the way it's set up. It's got the mirrors there. It's usually nice and cool. It's right now we have cycles, the bikes spread out, you know, so that people can distance while they take cycle classes.
Yeah.
But it's a really well done room, I think.
I guess you've had to just do that. Whether any kind of workout area, Brian, you've had to spread things out.
Right. So when we first opened, we were actually using the basketball court and had equipment out there to try and space everything out. Once we moved from phase two to phase three, we've been using the basketball court, group exercise studio for our group exercise classes. We have reservations for those so that we can stay within mm-hmm. capacity and make sure everyone's able to space out their distance during the class. But even on the fitness floor, we have equipment that's marked off. And so the way we set it up is we have A and B days, almost like a school, where some of the equipment that we can't necessarily space out, we have certain days where the A equipment's open and the next mm-hmm. day the B equipment's open. And we have a schedule online and in the center. So that way, if you want particular equipment, you can see what days are available. With the cardio equipment, we have it marked off every 10 feet. And then we have the strength equipment, whether it's the cable systems, the squat racks, leg press, those types of things. Mm-hmm. Again, those are part of the A and B day. And that way we can still use everything in the center. We didn't want to just mark things off and say, well, you know, it'll come back eventually.
Yeah.
So we felt like this was a happy medium, just because some of those pieces of equipment weigh like 500-600 pounds and trying to move those
right.
Just isn't a reality at this point.
Yeah.
So this was what we've been able to do. And the members seem very happy with it, and they're able to use the equipment, and they just sort of make their workout adjust accordingly. And if you have questions or you wanted to use a piece of equipment that's unavailable, we have the attendant, or we have trainers, we have a manager, talk with them, and we can give you different ideas and different exercises that you can do to still work that particular muscle group that you're trying to do.
It had to be a big change for just even some of the instructors, of just kind of they had to sort of reevaluate what they did and change a lot of that.
Right. So, I mean, part of the restrictions is we can't use certain pieces of equipment, like anything that's not a hard surface, we really can't use. So whether it's a band, a rope, mm-hmm. Anything that's got a porous surface, we're not allowed to use. And so taking those out of the equation for our group exercise classes, I mean, we had to take them off the fitness floor as well. The personal trainers have to do it differently because they still have to be spaced away from their client. That's part of the restriction. So we ended up making one of our multi-purpose rooms a fitness studio. And so that way, instead of trying to train your client on the floor but still be separate from them, you can go into this fitness studio, train them in there, still keep the distance, but now it's more of a one-on-one setting. So it's a little bit better for everybody.
It is nice.
I know people that have a personal trainer. I mean, it was like people who couldn't go get their hair done.
Right.
They were just thrilled when things were able to reopen enough. In some cases, whether they even met with their trainer outside, just
right.
to be able to do
sure.
things.
Right, and we were doing that at the beginning mm-hmm. of the summer, having some classes outside. Trainers were working outside. We've got a grassy area behind our building that we were using. Right now, it's a little more challenging. I guess unless you want to go out in 30 and 40 degree weather, we're more than welcome to still do that. We're really able to do whatever the client wants us to do. But yeah, just trying to use as much space as we have available. I mean, even some of the youth programs that we have. So we have a homeschool program that we do. We do that on the fields. They're playing kickball right now. And it's in the middle of the day, so it's fairly warm. Everyone dresses appropriately. It gets them outside. It keeps them separated. And it's just, again, something to get the kids back into a rhythm where they can be around other kids. They can stay safe.
Right.
It gives the parents a break for that hour or two. Or maybe they just want to have an adult conversation with another parent. And it just gives them that ability.
So we've seen the pool, Kim. So we're going to go outside, and because Brian mentioned the fields. I mean, the fields are pretty spectacular. How many fields are there?
You know what? Here's the funny thing. Our building is managed by us. The fields are managed by Stafford County Parks and Rec.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's funny. Like I know where to direct people for field information, but
okay.
I don't know all the field information.
I did not know that.
I think there's 6 or 8. Oh, goodness gracious. They're going to hate me now.
At least. a lot.
So there's, I believe there's 6 turf fields, and then they've been building additional grass areas.
Okay.
And so I know they just had a soccer tournament this past weekend with using the fields. And so the nice thing with having that partnership is being able to use the fields. Mm-hmm. And really, it's because it's run through Stafford County Parks and Rec. If there's nothing scheduled on the field, it's run as any other park in the county. And so there's a lot of people that will, when I drive in the morning at 8, 9 in the morning, there's people that are working out just on the fields or just having just regular soccer practice or football, especially on Mondays when the schooling's asynchronous. And then usually in the evenings, that's when they'll have things scheduled on the particular fields, but it's available. So, I mean, even if you just wanted to come to the park and run around, just run around one of the fields. You can get exercise that way. You don't even necessarily have to come in the facility.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a member to use the fields.
Well, since I'm going to go, we're going to go back inside, Kim. But I'm going to have Brian
that's my safe place.
Take me around the pools because
he's the guy that knows.
This is his thing. As far as classes in the water, I mean, I guess, do you have any more flexibility there? I guess you still have to keep people spread out.
Right. So with the restrictions that were put forth last week, group exercise classes are limited to 25 people. Now, even before all of this, I mean, when we were in phase two back in June, I think the limit we were still doing was about 18 or 19 people.
Right.
So we've been under that the entire time. We have a reservation system online, but we're still able to do shallow or deep water aerobics classes. We have a pretty full schedule. It's about we get the participants in the water, we spread them out, and we do exercises and different routines that keep them away from each other. Before COVID, we had exercises where we could use noodles and have people like compete against each other and do all sorts of things that we just can't do right now. But it's definitely still possible because of the space that we have available in the pool area.
Are you still doing like lifeguarding classes or things like that? Or have those kind of things had to go on hold for a while?
So what the Red Cross has done is they've been able to they've set up essentially extensions that we've been able to sign up for our staff or for additional people that had certifications that might have expired.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for us in our center, we want to make sure we're safe. So part of that's COVID, but also part of that's water safety. And so if we have guards that aren't trained or aren't up to date, that's putting people at risk. And so we have been doing classes and trainings internally, trying to keep everybody distanced as best we can. But at the end of the day, when you're doing water skills, you're going to be in the water next to somebody. And that's just the nature of what it is. But ultimately, the way we looked at it as if we don't do this, we're putting members at risk because then maybe our guards aren't as up to train as they should be.
Right.
And so we're not actively promoting classes outside to the public just because we don't want to create an unsafe environment, but we want to make sure our staff are trained, are up to date, have current certifications, and can handle an emergency situation. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, if we can't do that, then we shouldn't have the pools open to begin with.
I'm sure. Do you ever sometimes just sit back and I think we all do. Sit back and think when the day comes, when things open up again, how wonderful that will be.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, the big thing for Red Cross programming, for lifeguarding, CPR classes, like the big window is generally January through June because all the 15-year-olds are like, oh, I can get a job this summer at the pools, those sorts of things. And so that's generally when all of those classes are busy. So right now it's not necessarily affecting us as much. But once we get into lifeguards training season, if we're not able to do those classes, it's going to hurt the outdoor pools because they won't have enough lifeguards. It's been hurting us this fall because the biggest way to recruit lifeguards to our facility is to train them. And we haven't been able to do that. So hopefully there's not too big of a lapse in the, you know, even when we're past this, if we're past it this summer, I think there's going to be a lot of training right at the beginning of summer of trying to get these kids certified, get them where they want to be so these outdoor pools can be aren't as negatively affected as well. So we're definitely looking forward to it. We love doing the Red Cross classes. We've got the space, we've got the equipment, we've got the ability to do it. It's just a matter of when can we do it and when can we do it safely.
But the other thing, I think that none of us really realize, and it's only been in the past few weeks that I've heard the same story from a pastor, from Patrick Ahern with Riverside, and I'm sure you would be fit right into this. The work it takes to get all of this organized and so everybody knows what to do, everybody knows what door to go, you know, all the little there's a lot of little things involved in making this work for when you all of a sudden you have people start coming in.
Yeah, the logistics of it is, you know, the general process that we go through is we try and figure out if there's a new set of restrictions or what happens. Okay, so how do we operate within the set of rules? How do we get that out to the members so that they understand? But then we also have to get it out to the staff and make sure they're trained to enforce it the same way too, because then if they're enforcing it different ways, that's only going to cause more confusion. The big part of it is trying to have a plan. Like way back when we were closed, we would have a plan sort of, this is what we're going to do when we're allowed to open. really generalized, and then we wait for Governor Northam to speak, and he'd say, okay, you can do this. So then we take our generalized plan and then adjust
and start
it.
Over. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, no exaggeration. We probably had 12 or 13 different opening plans. And then you adjust it to what we're allowed to do, and then you get a hold of the staff, you do some training, and then you get out to the members as quickly as you can so you can get that process started. And you cannot over-communicate at this point. So whether we're communicating through the website, through a newsletter, through a mass email, through a text message, through social media, through signs in the building.
I mean, we've called.
The last round we called probably 600-700 of the members just to try and get information out. At this point you can't communicate too much.
Right.
And you just...
Do your best.
Hopefully we can get the plan out as quickly as we can. But there's so many little logistics that we had just never thought about. Of, like you said, what door can they come in? Should they be leaving out a separate door? When are we doing passes through the building? What's the reservation system? The list just goes on.
Yeah, and just a lot of little things that none of us ever think
little
about.
Things,
we talked about, pens the last time when you were here, Kim, about... just having a container.
Yes, our clean pens and our dirty pens, keeping those separate.
All of that kind of thing.
So who would have thought?
I don't think a lot of us think that. You just show up and you want to know what to do, but somebody's got to figure out where to put arrows and how to clean things. Clean just the minute little things.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, even like X's on the ground using cones, like you said, signs with arrows. When it's everything that we had to do, all the marketing, all the signage, all just everything in the building. And so it will be very interesting to see once we get through the pandemic and we get to where we're able to operate at 100% again, how much of what we're doing now stays. The digital aspect is great, and I think that's probably something that stays, but.
And I think the cleaning, we've ramped up the cleaning so much. And like I said before, it's kind of become habit that when I have a free minute, I'm going to go wipe down the handles to the door. And I think that stays.
I think it should, because even next year, if the pandemic is passed, it's still
cold and flu season.
why can't we continue?
I don't want that either.
Why can't we continue doing these things to make sure the center is as safe as possible? Mm-hmm. It's just I think that stays as well.
Right.
It's going to be interesting just even to go to sporting events and when things open up to where, how long is it going to take us to where we feel comfortable
around
having lots of people around us?
Yeah, because I mean, day to day at a grocery store, right? Like there's a lot of people, but it doesn't feel that. But if you go to a sporting event, like at a watching a football team game, like there's 50,000 people, once you're seated, it's not too bad, but you got to get in and get out at the same time as everyone else. And that's going to be, I think that's going to be the challenge for a lot of these venues, is how do you get everyone in a timely manner, but keep them apart? And I don't know how that's possible, to be honest.
I don't either.
It's definitely going to be an adjustment once we get to that point.
It is, just to get there, just mentally, is going to be a big thing. Brian Cannon, Kim LaFontaine with the Jeff Rouse Swim and Sports Center here this morning. When we come back, rousecenter.com, if you want to find out more information, rousecenter.com. We will talk about how you can go through the process of becoming a member, and we'll talk again and wrap it up, talk about the Frosty 3-Miler and Reindeer Run coming up on December the 12th. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFA. We'll be right back.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Brian Cannon, the general manager, and Kim LaFontaine, the membership director at the Jeff Rouse Swim and Sports Center here this morning. Before we get out of here, Kim, you've taken us on a virtual tour around the building. So if I say, sign me up.
Sign you up.
How does all that work?
We can do it. So our memberships are really, I think they're really flexible, because we don't have any contracts. We don't lock people in, for a year or 2 years. We just do month to month. We just require 2 weeks notice to cancel, and no problems. Obviously we don't want people to cancel, but we understand people move away. We're a big military, area. People come and go. As far as memberships, our rates are very competitive. I would say we might be less than even the Y. So I think people are surprised. I've actually shown people our rate sheets before, and they've been like, oh my goodness, like pleasantly surprised at how affordable we are for families. And then I think one of the biggest bargains in our entire center is our junior rate. So you can add a child under the age of 16 for $10 a month, and you can put them in our J Club every single day while you work out. with no additional fees. And that is the cheapest babysitting around. And we have great staff who are highly trained and very sanitized in that area to keep your kids safe. So it's a really good deal, I think, for families.
Go to rousecenter.com for information or check out the Facebook page. Brian, the Frosty 3-miler and Reindeer Run is on December the 12th. And as of right now, it's taking place.
Yep. So as of right now, everything's in place for the Frosty 3-miler on the 12th. Again, if you want to register for the race, we're going to have a cap of 250 people, and people will be sent off in waves of 25 per the governor's restrictions. But you can go to our website, rousecenter.com. You'll be able to register for the race there. If you don't want to come out for it, but you still want to do it, you still want the shirt and the swag and everything that goes along with it, do the race virtually, and you can get your time submitted that way. It's a great way if you just run around your neighborhood if you want and submit your time. You can still be a part of the race. So we're just looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. So it'll be a good race.
Well, and as we have talked, especially when you talk about this time of year with making resolutions and in all of that, things are a little bit different everywhere with all the restrictions. But still, Rouse Center is a great place to get in shape, and you can do it. Come if that's what you want. You want to make sure you start doing that towards the end of the year or to start off the year.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, New Year's is coming, and everyone, you know, me included, New Year, new me. Right.
That's right.
You know, Kim was talking about her favorite part of the facility. Mine's the cafe because I love to eat. So that's my problem that I run into. But if you want to come in, get a great workout between fitness center, group exercise classes, swim some laps, shoot hoops in the basketball court. Mm-hmm. There's something for everybody, for everyone in the community. It's a great environment. The people are great. The members are great. The staff does a great job. So we'd love to have you out. Come out, have a tour. We'll be able to get you started.
If we'd started the tour, if I'd had you do the tour, we would have gone to the cafe and gone nowhere else. I like
that.
Probably, yeah.
Enjoy your smoothies, guys.
Yeah. I would have. I next time I go with Brian on the tour.
Okay, fair enough.
And we let you just
do whatever I want to do. Right. That's fine.
Thank you guys so much. These are tough times. It's always great having you come in. The Rouse Center is a terrific facility, and it's great for this area. And thank you for all you do to keep it safe and up and running. It's been tough.
All right. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Brian Cann, the general manager, Kim LaFontaine, the membership director at the Jeff Rouse Swim and Sports Center. RouseCenter.com is the website. The Frosty 3-Miler and Reindeer Run on December 12th. You can find out about all that, too. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.